بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى البردين دخل الجنة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ ب27 درجة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاكرين والشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين All praise belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, Master on the Day of Judgment. May peace and salutations be on our beloved leader and guide Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the Day of Qiyamah, those people who have iman will be on one side and those people who don't have iman will be on the other side, meaning forever and ever in hellfire. And the next question for you and I who are the reciters of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah who have iman will be questioned with regards to the salah. If the salah was found in a good condition, then inshallah the remainder of the deeds will be found in that manner. But if the salah was found in a bad condition, then the remainder of the person's deeds will be found in that manner. That is why it is important as a believer, as a Muslim, to revolve our life around salah. Because this is a great command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We know the incident when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this gift of salah on the occasion of Mi'raj. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarrama to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from Masjid al-Aqsa meeting the different Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam in the different heavens, and then meeting with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and was given the salah, the gift of salah. And how much? 50. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this gift, he came down and meeting the different Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam in the different heavens, telling them that I have been given this great gift of salah, 50. So the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your followers will not manage 50. Go back to Allah and ask for a reduction. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to and fro. We're just going to go very briefly with this incident. So goes to and fro until it comes to 5. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and tell the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam that now salah is 5. He say, your followers won't even manage 5. Go back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and get a further reduction. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I find it very difficult now to go to Allah and get a further reduction. It has already been reduced from 50 to 5. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will leave it as that. And that is why we now perform the 5 daily salah. There's a statistic that the ummah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are only performing 5 daily salah. Only 10% are performing 5 daily salah. So we can see how far we from the command and fulfilling the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith that with regard to performing salah with jama'ah, salatul jama'ati afdalu min salatil fadhi bi27 daraja, that a person who performs salah with jama'ah gets 27 times more reward than that person performing salah alone. So there's great reward in performing salah in the masjid and walking towards the masjid as well. One hadith with regards to walking on a Friday to the masjid, for every step a person takes in walking towards the masjid, the reward is 1 year of fasting in his account, subhanallah. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kindness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And many a times we find when things are going bad for us, then we turn to Allah in performing salah. But when we have good conditions, then we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to remember Allah in good conditions, in bad conditions, whatever the condition, we need to fulfill every command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in following the sunnah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where it mentioned that when the child reaches the age of 7, The parents must tell the child the importance of salah and so on. And if a person does not perform salah, what is the warnings, etc. And then when the child reaches the age of 10, he must be lightly punished or reprimanded by his parents for non-performance of salah. So this is the duty of the parents to make sure that the children are performing salah at the age of 7 already. Now look at the foresight and the wisdom of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1438 years ago. In the time that we are living in, when the child comes to an age of 7, he starts grade 1. He's learned, whether in a Muslim school, whether in a madrasa, whatever it might be, he's learning some surahs, he's learning du'as relating to salah, etc. And when he reaches the age of 10, which is already in grade 4, he had already learned a few surahs. He had learned Thana, Tashahud, Durud Ibrahim, Dua after Durud Ibrahim, as well as Dua Kunut. So he knows exactly how to perform salah. Certain things he might not know. So as parents, we need to make sure, first of all, before making sure that our children are performing salah, we need to be making sure that we perform our salah. As fathers, we have to come to the masjid. Wherever musalla is available close to our house, we make sure that we go. And when our children see us at that young and tender age of 4 or 5 years old maybe, they want to come with us. Wherever we're going, they want to come. We're going to the shops, they want to come in. So when you tell them you're going to the masjid, but if you want to come to the masjid, you have to make sure that you are quiet. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You not need to make a noise or run a racket, etc. So at that age, we nurture our children as well and bringing them along with us to the masjid. So they understand the importance of performing salah in a masjid and the reward that we had mentioned in light of the hadith of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person will get 27 times more reward. Now sometimes a person has a reason, he's ill, he's not able to perform salah or come to the masjid, that's a different story on its own. We find many of the people in our localities are well, there's no issues, there's no problem. If you've got a slight headache, we've got a stomach ache, we've got a flu, we can still come to the masjid. But we're in a situation where we cannot move or we are in hospital, then that's a different story on its own. And many of us, with our cars, we can make it to the masjid. Others are close by to the masjid. We can walk towards the masjid. The rewards are great. The problem is, we don't see the rewards. That is why we don't do those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept so many or many rewards. When we see the reward in front of us, then we will do it. But when we see in light of the hadith of the Quran that a person will get this reward or that reward, we don't see the reward, so we say, you know what, we just take it for granted. That is a very sad thing. Because these rewards will be given to us on the day of Qiyamah. When we come in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah will say, this is the rewards for performing your salah and for doing this action, for following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, etc., etc. So we need to be frequenting the masjid and revolving our life around salah. When we wake up in the morning, the first thing is not to worry about anything else, about our business or about our jobs or anything else. But the first thing when I wake up is I have to go and perform my salah in the masjid. So we read our Fajr salah. Then during the course of the day, Dhuhr salah comes in. Most of us are in our businesses, we're in our workplaces. We can ask for off or it's time that we can take our afternoon break. So at that time, we don't waste our time in futile activities or, you know, completely not fulfilling that command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by performing our dhuhr salah, but rather we leave everything, we go and perform our salah. Thereafter, during the course of the day, at the latter part of the afternoon, comes the asr salah. Many of us at that time as well, we are running our errands for our families, we are leaving work, we need to buy certain things. At that time, we find we get so engrossed that we miss our asr salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned in a hadith, "Man sallal bardaini dakhal al jannah." That person who performs salah at the two cool times will enter Jannah. There's many ways of us entering Jannah, and this is one of the ways to secure our Jannah by making sure that we read our Fajr salah as well as our Asr salah. This doesn't mean we only safeguard the Fajr and the Asr and the Dhuhr, Maghrib and Isha salah. We leave it out. No, we have to perform all this salah. But this is just to make us understand. And the reward is great. Why? Because at the time of Fajr, many of us are sleeping, we're all sleeping. So to wake up, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whatever season it might be, we have to leave our beds, we need to go to the masjid and perform our salah. It's a difficult exercise to do all that before going for salah. But the reward is great in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is why we need to safeguard these two salahs as well as the other salah. Then we go on to the Maghrib salah. We find that everybody is free now, have left their jobs and workplaces, and they are coming for salah. Thereafter, when we go home, having supper with our families, talking with our families, then the adhan goes for Isha salah. Then many of us are very lazy because of the whole day's work. So at that time also respond to the call of the muadzin, because this is that command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we need to obey at all times. We cannot leave it out. So at that time also we leave our families and we come to the masjid, and we will get the great reward that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got in store for us by making sure that we perform our 5 daily salah. And then many of us are performing salah for many years, but that salah of ours doesn't have any life in it. Meaning that a person is performing salah but is not doing good actions. There's something wrong with that person's salah. Allah is mentioned in the verse of the Quran, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That verily, by performance of salah, it will stop a person from involving himself in every type of evil. So if we are performing our 5 daily salah and we still involve in some kind of evil or wrong, we need to take a check and introspect. Am I performing salah just to get this command of Allah off my shoulders? Or am I performing salah so that I can get closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Because we find with this, you know, people just want to fulfill the command of Allah and then they continue with their life. In salah we say so many times when we read suratul fatiha, what we say, ihdina siratul mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me on the right path. Guide me on the straight path. So we're saying that, but when we leave the masjid, we're doing all other evil. So how can they help and how can Allah guide us towards good? If we making dua and we do the good actions, Allah will guide us and we turn to Allah and we make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill and accept our duas. So we need to take a check on our salah when we're on a journey as well to perform salah. Why? This is the great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike fasting, when Ramadan comes, we fast. If we got a reason, we are traveling. Okay, in today's time, we don't have the difficulty of traveling by camelback or horseback or whatever. We got our cars, we got air conditions and whatever. So in this situation, we wouldn't even recommend anybody missing their fast in the month of Ramadan, because it was not like that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba had to go on conveyance from place to place. That is why they were given permission not to fast. And then when Ramadan comes to an end, to make up for that fast. Salah, whether you're at home, you're in a journey, wherever you are, you have to perform your salah. Even if a person is sick, to such an extent that he cannot even go in ruku and sajda, he's lying there in the hospital bed, by means of indication or sign, he has to perform his salah. All this here makes us to understand the importance of salah in the life of a believer. Even when we're on a journey of 77, 78 kilometers or more, and we are going to be there for less than 15 days, then all our 4 rakats of salah has been shortened. The 4 farad of Dhuhr and Asr and Isha will be half to 2. But if when we are performing salah with the imam, who is a resident in their town, then we will perform the full salah, because we're gaining great reward, extra reward again. And remember, for every reward, for every effort, or so much of effort, extra effort that we do, the reward is great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to safeguard this salah that we have, and this is a great way of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the other religions, they pray on a Saturday, they pray on a Sunday. We pray every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Although Friday is the best day of the week for the believer, there's more merit, there's more virtue, there's things that we do on a Friday compared to other days of the week. But this shows this beauty of the religion of Islam, that every day we turn to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the muadzin says, Hayya ala salah, come to salah. Hayya ala al-falah, come towards success. We all want to be successful. And by performing salah, we will attain that success. The material world won't give us success. We're not saying don't, go and do your jobs and do these kind of things. We have to do that all on its place. But when it comes to success, true success, this is when we perform our salah and fulfill every command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then we will attain the true success in this world and also in the year after. So we need to make sure, as parents, as caregivers, it is our responsibility that we are performing salah and our children are performing salah. If we bring them along to the masjid, they need to understand what is the etiquette of the masjid, and not to be making a noise, stand at the back, and not to playing around. But children are children. We were children. We know what it was. We were playing. But later on in our life, we understood the importance of the masjid and performing salah. And you see, at that young and tender age, when the child comes to the masjid, he understands the importance of salah. And then later on in your life, when the child now is baligh, he knows now that is his responsibility. You don't need to tell him. When he hears the adhan, he will remind you, or he will take a walk if he's close by to the masjid, because he understands the importance of salah. He understands the importance of performing salah with jama'ah. And if the woman folk, our wives, are performing the salah, then our daughters, our sisters will be performing salah. But if they are not performing salah, then we're sitting with another problem. So making sure that when we come for salah, they are also performing salah at home. And they got it so easy, subhanallah, that as soon as the time of whichever salah sets in, they can perform the salah at that time. For us, we wait for the time of jama'ah, and we go to the masjid so that we can reap the great rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got in store for us. So in this way, we attach ourselves to the masjid, and by performing our five daily salah. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in a hadith that person who performs the 12 sunan during the course of the day, he will get a palace in Jannah. Nowadays, what happens? We got the 2 sunnah of Fajr, we got the 4 sunnah before the fard of Dhuhr, the 2 sunnah after the Dhuhr, the 2 sunnah after the Maghrib, and the 2 sunnah after the fard of Isha, which is the 12 sunnah, which is sunnah muakkada. We need to understand the difference. One is sunnah muakkada, one is sunnah ghair muakkada. Sunnah muakkada are those 12 sunnah which I've mentioned, which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had never left out. Never ever left out. So much so, it is mentioned that a person who performs the 2 sunnah of Fajr, it is better than the whole world and whatever it contains. Even if a person has come for Fajr this morning and he was late, he came into the second rakat. After the salah is over, he won't read the 2 sunnah then. 15-20 minutes after sunrise, when it's salatul ishraq, then he will perform this 2 sunnah, qadha, to show us the importance of not leaving the sunnah out. Even if you're on a journey, we read the 2 sunnah. How long does it take? 2-3 minutes at the most. So we need to make sure that we read the sunnah muakkada. It's so sad, you go to many masajid in our country and abroad. As soon as the fard salah is over, everybody is running out. Today is the day of Jumu'ah. We will have time now to read 4 sunnah. Make sure that we read the 4 sunnah. Don't take out our cell phones and, you know, WhatsApp and whatever else. Or talk to our friends or talk about every other thing. We need to read our 4 sunnah. And that 4 sunnah of Jumu'ah is also sunnah mu'akkada. Thereafter, after the fard of the Jumu'ah, we need to read the 4 sunnah, which is sunnah mu'akkada as well. And many are leaving the masjid at that time. And the 2 sunnah after that is ghair muakkada. So if we are not performing our sunnah in the masjid, then at least perform our salah, our sunnah at home. Because that was the sunnah practice of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we are so weak that sometimes we say we want to fulfill that sunnah. But when we go home, what happens? We get involved with all other things, the worldly matters. We want our families, we want our children. And then we forget to read our 4 sunnah intentional. We're not forgetting it unintentional. That is why we say while we are in the environment of the masjid, we read our sunnah here. So out when we go out, then we know that our sunnah is completed. We read our fard. Optional salah, we can read at home. So that is what we need to bring in our life. Don't leave the masjid without performing our sunnah muakkada. Thereafter, we find the sunnah ghair muakkada, which is the 4 sunnah of Asr and the 4 sunnah of Isha. Many of us, including myself, we disregard it or we don't even include it in our salah. We will come 2-3 minutes before the time of jama'ah and we will perform the fard. But if we come early, we perform the sunnah so that we can show our love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the difference of sahaba. Sahaba performed sunnah because it was sunnah. We leave out sunnah because we say it is just a sunnah. How said? We want to fulfill the fard, mashallah, on its place. But the sunnah also we should not let go. Because this is to show that how much of love we have for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith also, that person who loves me or follows my sunnah will be with me in Jannah. So don't we want to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Definitely we want to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us, you know, understand the importance of salah, the importance of salah with jama'ah, not to leave out our salah. Wherever we might be, we make sure. That is why we said in the beginning, revolve our life around salah. We are on a journey. The time of Asr sets in. We stop at the nearby masjid. And in our country, mashallah, as we are going to Johannesburg, we can stop in Benoni. There are so many places we can stop and perform our salah. It's so easy for us. Then we perform our salah. And then we move on. And then you will see the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descending upon the ummah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see our Muslim brothers suffering in Palestine, in Syria, in Burma, wherever it might be. But we feel the pain here as well. So when we perform our obligatory, our first salah, and after that we make a dua, that is the time where our duas are accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave our duas unanswered. If we, whatever we ask for, Allah will give it to us immediately as is. Sometimes Allah will give us something which is better. We don't know about that. And then the best one is that when we make dua, and Allah keeps it for us in the year after. So when we come in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah will tell us, all this is yours. Then the person will say, but oh Allah, I haven't done all these things in the world. Allah will say, you asked for so many things in the world, I did not give it to you in the world. This is all here for you. The person will turn around and tell Allah, rather not one of my du'as should have got accepted in the world. So don't ever be despondent on the mercy of Allah. Don't be sad that you know what, my du'as are not getting accepted. Allah knows and Allah will let it happen on the correct time. We make du'a to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He grants us the true understanding of what has been said, to practice righteous deeds and to abstain from evil. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us punctual with our 5 daily salah. Ameen wa ma'alina illa al-balagh. Before the sunnah, there's 2 important announcements. The first announcement is an excellent initiative by the An-Nasirat, the Ladies Forum.